Hey, Church Unlimited, thanks for being with us right now in our brand new series, Summer Book Club. We're glad you guys are here. We've been having a great time with this series, but I saved this book for the very end. This book we're going to talk about today is called What's Next? The Israel-Gaza War. And we flew to Dallas today to be with a dear friend. This guy is brilliant. You will know him very quickly because you probably already follow him. Jimmy Evans is not only been a pastor, but he's a prolific author. And of course, he's the founder of XO Marriage, and they do marriage conferences all over the world, really. And they've even done one at Church Unlimited. Many of you guys went this last year, and it was incredible. But Jimmy, you also are an expert on Israel and all things Israel, really, and also what's going on with the conflict with Israel and Gaza. And frankly, a lot of Christians are a little confused.
Yeah.
What does all this mean? And so you really did a great job in this book explaining what is going on, why it matters, the historical context, what should we be doing? So I just want to unpack that. And so thank you for joining us today.
Love it, Pastor Bill. Love your church. Appreciate you so much and your leadership and your friendship. But the book, the thing that people need to understand about Israel and Gaza is it's not about land. A lot of times you look at Israel, what's happening over there right now, the two-state solution, yeah, Palestinians, all that, and you think it's about land. It's not about land. It's about Israel's right to exist.
Wow.
And so Hamas exists for the purpose of destroying Israel. That's their charter.
Can I just ask you point blank, why do they hate Jews so much?
Well, anti-Semitism is a spirit. It's not an ideology. And a lot of times you see the college campuses in America today and all the anti-Semitism. If you ask a person to articulate why they hate Jews or Israel so much, they can't.
Wow.
No one can. They just do. It's just this bizarre hatred that they have. But it's been that way since the beginning.
Wow.
And so, you know, when Israel was in Egypt, remember the Jews, that's where they really started, is when Joseph came to Egypt, and then they were under cruel bondage for 400 years, is that the Pharaoh turned against them and put them in slavery. Well, then they left Egypt through Moses. Moses delivered them through God's miracles out of Egypt, and they were immediately attacked by the Amalekites. Okay, well, the Amalekites live right next to Gaza.
Wow.
That was the first nation that attacked them when they came out. And then Edom and all the other nations. So since the very beginning of Israel, there has been this hatred toward them, but the reason is God. Mm. See, Israel is the only nation that God ever created. In Genesis 12, when God called Abram, you know, who's now Abraham, or later it's Abraham, when he called him, he made him into the first person in the Jewish race.
Wow.
And he made him into a new nation. And God says, whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. And you look at world history, every nation that's come against Israel, you look at Egypt, they used to be a world power. You look at Germany, you look at all the different people who have come against Egypt, Babylon. They either don't exist or they're a shell of their former selves.
Wow.
And so look at what happened to the president of Iran,
yeah,
recently. You know,
yeah,
and he has a horrible hatred, or did,
yeah,
for Israel and wanted to wipe them off the face of the map. Their right to exist is what's the issue, and the issue is God. Mm. Israel is a reminder to the world. See, Israel's existence tells us that God exists.
Wow.
Because God started Israel. And so Satan obviously hates everything that God loves.
Yeah.
And so the world, the anti-Semitism in the world right now is at an all-time high. You can't turn on the news without seeing it on there. And so Hamas started in 1987, is an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is just this toxic type of belief system that even Egypt kicked the Muslim Brotherhood out. And that's why Egypt won't allow the Palestinians to have refuge in Egypt, because they don't want that spirit in.
Now, is it true that, I'm just curious your thoughts on this. This is just a raw interview, by the way. We're just going where it takes us. Is it true that the people in Gaza, no one wanted them? Like no one would take them back?
That's right. They won't now.
They're just like, they're so animalistic. I don't know what word to use.
Well, they're just radicals.
They're just
they're just full of hate. They don't want a normal society. See, all Israel wants to do is just be normal.
Yeah.
And just, they're just great people.
Yeah, raise
great
your kids,
country.
Have a good career.
That's not what Hamas wants. Hamas wants to see, Islam means submission.
Wow.
It's a dominant type of a religion. Not all Muslims are that way.
Right.
But right now, for example, see, Hamas, in my book here, Israel Gaza War, this is the Hamas charter. And this was done, this is a summary of the Hamas charter in 1988. And this is their charter. This is what they state now as their reason to exist. Number one, the complete destruction of Israel as an essential condition for the liberation of Palestine and the establishment of a theocratic state based on Islamic law, Sharia. That's their number one tenet. Number two is the need for both unrestrained and unceasing holy war, jihad, to obtain the above objective. Number three, the deliberate disdain for and dismissal of any negotiated resolution or political settlement of Jewish and Muslim claims to the Holy Land.
Wow.
And so this is why they exist. So people don't understand that Hamas, since they began, they have, in 2007, they took over Gaza. In 2005, the United States and the United Nations forced Israel to give up Gaza to the Palestinians in a land for peace deal. If we gave them land, they would get peace. Well, they took that and immediately turned it into a war zone. Since the day they got Gaza, they have done nothing but militarize that area. Bill, they have 500 miles of tunnels under Gaza that they built, and they don't have one above-ground shelter for their people.
Wow.
They built those tunnels for their soldiers, but they have no concern for the people. And so these people, from the beginning, built Gaza for war and to destroy Israel. So, and they've said it from they've never made any bones about the fact that they exist to destroy Israel. And so when October 7th happened, that's what they wanted all along, is to destroy Israel. And so, but what people need to understand is, see, they're trying to force Israel into a two-state solution, which means that they have Palestine as a state alongside of Israel. Well, see, 80% of the Palestinians in the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, and in East Jerusalem, 80% agree with Hamas.
Wow.
80%.
80% of the population.
That's right. See, it's not just Hamas that wants to destroy Israel. The Palestinian people want to destroy Israel.
They're raised in it.
They're raised from children to believe that killing a Jew is one of your greatest honors and responsibilities.
You, Jimmy, we were talking before the camera started rolling, and you were invited, and I don't know if this is a privilege or a torture, but you were invited to some footage, to go to Israel and see real footage. Can you, I mean, I know this is an audience that, you know, I want to be careful here, there are kids, but could you explain what you saw? Because I think people have a tendency, why is Israel attacking Gaza, almost making the Hamas people look like they're victims? Could you explain what you saw?
I was invited to the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. in January to watch a 45 minutes of the raw footage of October 7th. And so we went there, and I saw 139 Israelis butchered. Now, most of this footage, Pastor, is from the terrorists' own social media and their phones. So you're watching them. They were live feeding this. This was being live streamed all over the world. So
they're proud of it.
Oh, they're proud. Oh my gosh, yes, they're very proud of it. And so for 45 minutes, they were worshiping Allah. They were praising Allah. Every time they killed another Jew, they were praising Allah. And I saw beheadings, murders, like you can't even comprehend. And so now the world is looking at Israel saying, oh, you need to be careful, you know, with what you're doing in Gaza. Well, they do need to be careful with the innocent civilians.
Sure, of course. Okay?
But you have to understand, Hamas builds their military installations in daycare centers, in schools, in hospitals. These aren't real soldiers. These are cowards.
Yeah.
They hide behind the people.
By design.
And so Israel, they have to destroy Hamas. And see, they're not trying to destroy the Palestinians. It's like the Allied forces in World War II. They had no bone to pick with German people. It was with the Nazis.
Yeah.
Imagine where we would be today, Pastor, if we had not destroyed the Nazi regime.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is worse.
Yeah.
The Hamas is just as bad or worse than them because their stated objective is to destroy the nation of Israel.
Jimmy, do me a favor. Tell me about that phone call you watched in the video, because I think that speaks to the worldview of those that live in Gaza, not beyond the Hamas soldier.
Yeah, this is Hamas terrorist who just killed this family, killed a woman, a Jewish woman, took her phone, called his mother, and his mother answered the phone. This is all on the recording. And he said, Mother, your son is a hero. I just murdered 10 Jews with my bare hands. And she said, praise Allah, my son is a hero. She hands the phone to his father. And he said, Father, I'm a hero. I just killed 10 Jews with my bare hands. And his father, praise Allah, my son's a hero. And so these are the kinds of things in that 45 minutes that you're watching. About the last 5 minutes of the footage, Pastor, was they were taking the hostages and dead soldiers into Gaza City, and the people were going crazy. They were just cheering all the terrorists as they were bringing these people in. And I'm not going to describe the hostages because it's the most horrific thing I've ever seen. But in one of the final scenes of that 45-minute footage, one of the terrorists said, "Take that Israeli soldier and crucify him on top of that building so everybody can see him." And then they cut off a soldier's head with a knife. In this footage, they're showing this, and they're just worshiping and praising Allah and doing all they're doing. It's hard for good people to understand evil people.
I mean, it's so barbaric.
It's beyond anything that you've ever seen before. And so, but the Jews, these people live out their back door. These are their next door neighbors. And so, and we were talking about this earlier, but if your next door neighbor said to you, "I don't recognize your right to exist, and as soon as I possibly can, I'm going to murder you and your family," how would you relate to that neighbor? Okay. Would you build a fence? Would you buy a gun? I mean, you've got to do something to protect your family. Well, everyone's blaming Israel because Israel's trying to protect themselves against these people that are vowed to their destruction. And again, it's not just Hamas. It's the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Benjamin Netanyahu said after October 7th, the prime minister of Israel, he said the only difference between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority and Fatah is not what they want to do. They all want to destroy us. It's just how they want to do it. With Hamas, they just want to destroy us right now. But with the Palestinian Authority, they want to enter into a two-state solution. And once they become a recognized state, then they want to militarize and destroy us. The only issue is how they're going to do it. So again, 80% of the Palestinian people, not in Gaza, but in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem, they all agree with Hamas. If there was a popular election held today by the Palestinian Authority for the West Bank, Hamas would be the ruling party.
Unbelievable.
They're that popular. And so we need to understand when the world is trying to pressure Israel into a two-state solution, United States, United Nations, European Union, and they're saying this is the only solution, what President Netanyahu is saying, Prime Minister Netanyahu is saying is, and the Israeli government is saying is never.
Yeah.
We will never, ever make another arrangement. See, when Hamas attacked—
They tried that. They tried it with Gaza.
They tried it with Gaza. Yeah. And they gave them land for peace, and they got attacked in return. And so these people hate Israel. They'll never recognize their right to exist. Iran is the same way. See, Iran is not Iran. Iran is the Islamic Republic of Iran. Mm. And they believe that Allah has called them to destroy Israel and usher in the end times. They have their own end times theology. And so they believe that they're called by Allah to destroy Israel, that they're on a holy mission. So when you see them trying to enrich uranium, when you see all that they're trying to do, the first time they have the opportunity, they're going to shoot a nuclear weapon at Israel. Because only one strike and Israel's gone. It's this tiny little nation about the size of the state of New Jersey. And so Israel is surrounded right now by Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, the Houthis in Yemen, all these people, terrorists in Judea and Samaria. They're surrounded on all sides. The world is against them. World opinion is against them. Everybody's trying to force them into a two-state solution. Well, Pastor, here's the thing. 2,500 years ago, prophets in the Bible said that this would happen.
Yeah.
See, Jesus said in Matthew 24, speaking to the Jews, "You'll be hated by all the nations for my name's sake."
Wow.
And so he was talking about the Jews in the end times. Zechariah 12 says, God says, "I'm going to make Jerusalem a heavy stone and a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding people so that anyone who tries to solve that problem is going to get hurt when they try." And he says, "Though all the nations of the world have gathered against it." See, Armageddon, the last scene of human history, is when all the nations of the world come and surround the Jews at Jerusalem. And you say, well, why would they do that? Right now, they're talking about a military imposition of a two-state solution. Joseph Borrell, who is the chief diplomat of the European Union, this has been months ago, he said, we have to forcibly make Israel divide the land and enter into a two-state solution. They'll never do it on their own. We have to do it by military force. The same ideas have been floated by the United Nations. The United Nations has censured Israel more than all other countries combined in the last 5 years. So the world is turning against Israel exactly the way the Bible said. And isn't it a ridiculous thought that thousands of years ago the Bible would prophesy that at the end times, this tiny little nation in the Middle East would garner all world attention?
Wow.
But they have.
Yeah.
You turn on the news right now, Mm-hmm. All the eyes are on Israel. They're in an impossible situation. This is exactly what the Bible said would happen. See, about 30% of the Bible's prophecy, and most of that is end time prophecy. This is the most prophesied period of time in world history.
Wow.
And we need to be thankful for that because God prepared us beforehand.
Yeah.
And so when we see all these things happen in the Middle East right now, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your head. Your redemption draws near. So Jesus' coming is very near, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
But the world events that are happening right now, we need to understand God said this to us thousands of years ago because the only one who can predict the future is the one who controls it.
Wow.
And see, our Bible is proof that our God is the only living God because we have the only book on earth that can predict the future with accuracy.
Wow.
There's about 1,000 prophecies in the Bible specific, and over half of them have come true literally. Beginning with, Pastor, in Isaiah 11, God says, it shall come about in the last days for the second time that I'm going to regather Israel from all the nations of the world where they've been scattered. Well, see, Israel is the only nation in the history of the world that has been dispossessed twice and come back. The first time is when they went to Babylon in about 587 BC. When the Babylonians conquered them. And 70 years later, they came back. Well, the second time was in AD 70 when the Romans killed over 1 million Jews. They destroyed the Jerusalem and the temple and the Temple Mount.
Right.
And they took the other Jews captive and led them away captive. And then they got scattered around the world. And God says, in the end times, I'm going to bring them from all over the world back to their nation. That was May 14th of 1948. See, the super sign of the end times is the nation of Israel. The end can't exist until Israel exists. And so we saw the regathering of Israel, and we've seen prophecy after prophecy after prophecy fulfilled. Well, last year on October 7th, what we saw was one of the most important prophetic signs occur, which is international hatred for Israel. There's always been anti-Semitism.
Sure.
But you've never seen this level of anti-Semitism.
Right.
The hatred toward the Jews, pressure on them to give up land, pressure on them to enter into a deal with the devil, which they're not going to do.
Yeah,
it's just an impasse.
It's so crazy. I have a dear friend that's Jewish. He's a Messianic Jew. He's accepted Christ now. But his family, family's from Russia. They're Russian descent, but Jewish. And, you know, he went on vacation. He's over in London. And he's like right outside his door, they are... You know, they're demonstrating about they hate Jews. And he looks at his wife and he says, they literally hate me.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as I want to say, oh, that's not, it is true.
That's true.
They do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrifying. Here's my question. To the Christian hearing this right now, they're going, man, is this it? Like, is my whole world about to implode? I mean, you can lose hope very quickly when you hear all this. What would you say to that person? Like, what are we to do with this knowledge?
Well, first of all, if this world is your home, you're in trouble.
Yep.
Because this world is not to last. Our home is in heaven.
Yeah.
And so for people who are trying to just, and I want to have a nice life here.
Sure.
But the point being is that Jesus is going to return. And I believe we are living in the last days. Bible prophecy helps us to contextualize what's happening in the world right now. And so, and there are people who would say, well, every generation has had signs of the end times. That's true. Mm-hmm. Every generation's had an Antichrist figure or famines or earthquakes. But we're the first generation that has every sign.
Mm.
And we're the first generation that has the existence of Israel. Because the end can't occur until Israel exists as a nation.
Wow.
And they've existed now for 75 years, 76 years. And so I believe that. The other thing I'd say, Pastor Bill, is this, and I say this a lot, and that is you should... plan as though Jesus isn't coming back for 100 years.
Gotcha.
But you should live as though he's coming today.
Gotcha.
And so when people hear a message like this, I don't want them to feel like they just need to give up.
Yeah, don't quit going to college. Don't give up all your dreams. I'm not saying that.
No, absolutely not.
Right,
get married, have children,
yes.
You know, have a career, all those kind of things. Serve the Lord. That's the most important thing, Pastor Bill. Serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Live your life for God. And the things that are happening in the world right now just remind us that we're all facing eternity.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, we're facing eternity. And what we do in this life, the most important thing we do in this life is know Jesus and serve Jesus and help to reach other people with this message. People are so open to God right now with all the calamity that's happening in the world. Not everyone is, but there are many people that are open to God. And your church is incredible. The outreaches that you have, I pray to God that every church would be like your church. Every pastor would be like you in your heart for unsaved people and lost people, a heart for the community. And I just, to the people, Church Unlimited, I'm just saying, I pray that you'll support in every way you can Pastor Bill and what's happening there, because I'm just saying it's many churches aren't like your church, and many pastors aren't like you in the heart that you have for people. And that's the most important thing right now, Pastor Bill. We need to reach people with the gospel.
Amen.
We need to reach unreached people, because those people, if they're not reached, they either go to hell or they're going to live through the tribulation, which we're not going to live through. Jesus is coming before that for the rapture. But people that don't know Jesus are going to go through seven horrific years that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation and other places, seven horrific years with an Antichrist who is going to be the most evil man, literally Satan incarnate, and over half the world's population is going to die during that time.
Wow.
And so you want to spare people hell, number one, and number two, the tribulation.
Yeah.
And reaching people
hell on
right
earth.
Now, that's hell on earth. Reaching people right now, this is the easiest time to come to Jesus.
Wow.
And if people don't do it now, and Jesus comes and they're left behind, they're going to go through seven horrific years.
Unbelievable. Wow. So the mom who just gave birth to a child, what would you tell her the hope, you know, for that next generation? You know, what would you say to them? Like, what do I do? How do I raise my kids in this? You know, we have people being raised in hate. How do we raise our kids in this?
Well, live for Jesus. The most important thing we do for our children is our example. And when the Bible says you train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it. Training doesn't mean telling. It includes that. It means showing.
It's good.
You train your child up, and you show your child the love of God.
Yeah.
You train them in the Word of God, you know, in just in a loving environment, in a Christ-centered environment. I think, Pastor, in the day that we live in right now, I think it's so critical for people to understand we have to be careful where we put our children related to education, related to entertainment and things like that. This world isn't like the world we grew up in.
Yeah.
This, the devil, there has never been a generation that the devil's after more than this generation, any way that they can. And so not legalistically and not fearfully, but we just need to understand that our children can be indoctrinated against God in some of the arenas that we put them in. And so as parents, we just need to be careful that we're praying for our kids, we're raising them properly. But like I said earlier, you know, plan like Jesus isn't coming back for 100 years.
That's good.
And just train your child up to be, you know, first of all, godly, but secondly, educated, successful. But Jesus could come at any moment. And we just need, again, raising our children in that environment of, this is not our home. We don't live for the praises of men. We don't live to be liked on social media, even though it's great if you're liked on social media. The most important thing is when I get to heaven, that I hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant.
It's good. So let me ask just one last question. We're going to wrap it up. This is so good. Thank you, Jimmy, for your time. You are brilliant at this. In fact, whenever I'm doing research on Israel, on end times prophecy, I go to this guy's books. And it's great stuff, and his website. It's great stuff. One thing I want to ask you is this. Let's get practical.
Okay.
How do I stand with Israel? What do I do? Like, okay, so I stand with Israel. What does that mean? What does that look like? What would you tell someone that says, I want to do that. I want to actually support them. How do you do that?
Well, pray for them. And I think just very practically right now, Israel is in shock. They're going through deep grief over what's happened to them.
Yeah.
We have a correspondent in Israel, endtimes.com. We have a correspondent, Brian Schrager, and he lives in Jerusalem. And we talk about this a lot. And when I say, Brian, what do we do for Israel? And he said, number one, you just pray because they're in grief.
I bet.
These people are suffering like you can't imagine.
What I hear, they've all lost someone personally.
Absolutely.
Because it's not that large of a nation.
That's right. And just in every manner, they're just grieving. And of course, they're being attacked this whole time, their economy and everything. There are great Israel ministries. One for Israel is a great ministry. Daystar is a network.
Yeah.
But Daystar has an Israel ministry, and they give 100%. What you give to Daystar to Israel, 100% of it goes to Israel.
That's great.
And in this last year, they've given $15 million to Israel.
Wow.
But they've also bought military equipment. They bought ambulances.
Great.
They help in very practical ways there. So just helping Israel ministries.
Yeah.
But the Israel ministries that are reputable, but those that are helping spread the gospel, but also just with the practical need there. The other thing is, Pastor, is just supporting Jewish people.
Yeah.
You know, when I see Jewish people, I see a Jewish person standing on the sidewalk, and I just walk up and say, I just want you to know that I love you and I appreciate you and I support you.
Wow.
And a lot of people have said to me, no one's ever said that to me before.
Wow.
Because they feel hated.
Yeah.
You know, support them in your conversations with friends or family. Support Israel. Just tell people and help to explain to people. A lot of people don't understand. They see Israel as the oppressor and Hamas as the oppressed. Well, that's just not true.
No.
And so when they understand the actual history of Israel and understand the details, it changes everything. So I want to be a proponent of Israel, not in a hateful manner, but just helping people to understand, like I've said during this time, is that Israel is, they have been persecuted for thousands of years simply because they exist and simply because they're a reminder that God exists.
Yeah.
They're a unique nation on the earth. And I want to say one more thing.
Yeah.
A Jewish person cannot go to heaven without receiving Jesus as their Messiah, but they're special by covenant. God made an everlasting covenant with the land of Israel and the people of Israel, the Jewish people, okay? The land and the people. And God said, this is an everlasting covenant. So we honor Israel and stand with them today because they're special by covenant.
Good.
And so, and again, they have a huge role in the end times. So I just pray that people today, that they would be able to understand that the, what they're seeing, this anti-Semitism, this is an end time sign.
Yeah.
The Bible said this would happen in the end.
Wow.
And this is something that we need to stand on God's side. And God loves the Palestinians. God loves the Iranians. God loves all people. And Jesus, one of the greatest revivals in the world right now is happening in Iran.
Wow.
Millions of Iranian people are coming to Christ.
Praise God.
And so God loves all those people, but Israel's special by covenant. Mm. So we stand with them for that reason.
That's good. Yeah. And I just want to mention too to our people that, you know, today we are going to, the missions portion of our offering, give straight to Israel. And we've done it before, and we're going to do it again, and we're excited to be able to do it. It's an honor to do it. So, Jimmy, let me just ask you this. We're going to close up here, but, man, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Your wisdom is amazing. You're brilliant at this, and I'm thankful, too, that you took the time to make this a part of what you do, because so many people have so many questions, and it can be confusing and frankly, downright scary.
Right.
And so, at the end of the day, I believe we are an end times church.
Yeah.
We are in that season where it's like, hey, we need to prepare for history to wrap up. And so we never close any service out without giving someone an opportunity to receive Christ. Would you lead them?
Absolutely. I would love to do that. You know, you've been listening to this, and maybe the Lord's already been dealing with you, but you don't know if you died right now if you'd go to heaven. You need to know that. That's something you need to know. You need to know that you've invited Jesus into your heart. And Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's talking about the door of our hearts. He said, "If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and dine with you and you with me." And that means he'll come in and give you eternal life. He'll forgive you of your sins and give you the gift of forever, the gift of eternity. So if you are ready to receive Jesus, I just want you to bow your heads with me if you would. And I want to lead you in a prayer. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I just want you to repeat these words after me. And everybody can say these words if you want to, but just say, "Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I open my heart to you.
Open my heart to you.
I invite you to come in.
I invite you to come in
to be my Lord.
To be my Lord
and my Savior.
And my Savior.
Forgive all of my sins.
Forgive all of my sins.
Give me the gift of eternal life.
Give me the gift of eternal life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Give me the power.
Give me the power
to change.
To change."
And to live for you.
And to live for you.
I dedicate my life to you.
I dedicate my life to you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. I want you to just keep your head bowed there, if you would, for just a second. Everybody, if you just keep your head bowed. And I want to ask those of you who just prayed that prayer for the first time in every service, every campus, would you just lift up your hand right now? And there's going to be one of the leaders that's looking for you. It's very important now for you to tell somebody what you've done. Just lift your hand real high. Keep it up there for just a second. If you haven't lifted up your hand, go ahead and lift it up right now. And you're just signifying by lifting your hand, I just said that prayer and I meant it for the first time. What that means is you're a believer, you're a brother and sister in Christ now. You're one of the family. And I want to congratulate you on what you've done. Amen.
Amen. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time. This has been unbelievable. And we're so grateful for you. Where can we find you online?
Endtimes.com is where our information on the end times is. And there's a free side to that. There's a $7 a month subscription side to that.
Sure.
We have podcasts. We have articles all week long.
Love it. Love your books as well. And, you know, just you're a wealth of information.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, if you are struggling or just simply want to strengthen your marriage, Exo Marriage.
Is
unbelievable. It's incredible ministry.
You know, Pastor, the two issues that a lot of pastors won't talk about is marriage and the end times. And so, you in marriage and the end times, you're equipping your congregation to do what everybody needs to do, but a lot of churches don't talk about it. So what you're doing is incredible.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time. And we just are so grateful for you and your ministry. And
thank you.
Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you very much.